Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you leave meat to eat? Archie the Magic Bacon. Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight? Yeah, lovely. Nice, sweet, average American girl, you know? The kind that might be living next door to you. If you live next door to Warner Brothers. she's a, you know, the normal, wholesome type. Yeah, sexy. But at the same time, with a certain amount of respectability, you know? The type you feel you should tip your hat to while you're whistling at her. Well, I hear she's liable to get an award for that picture, Johnny Belinda, you know? And you've got to get... Yeah. She started out this girl, and now she's a great dramatic actress. Uh-huh. Somewhere along the line, I guess she lost her ambition. Look, Duffy, I'll call you back. There's a program on the radio I got to listen to. Eddie, what station is the Philharmonic on?
That's 600 on the dial.
What station is the Round Table Forum?
700.
Good. Tune in on 650.
What's that?
The Bucket of Blood Murder Mystery. And tonight's the last installment.
Yeah, tonight they're going to announce the killer.
Yeah, great show, though, ain't it?
Yes, the detective's been shot 14 times, knife 23 times, blackjack 87 times.
Yeah, how many times have you heard the show?
Twice.
Who do you think the killer is, Eddie?
Oh, it's obvious, the maid.
I say it's the butler.
I say it's the maid.
Bet you $2 million it was the butler.
$2 million it was the maid.
Want to make it $3 million?
Okay, $3 million. And 50 cents each on the side.
Okay, we'll make it $4 million. And 10 cents each on the side. Huh? Make that cash, too.
Okay. The best. Let's turn it on.
All right, we're turning on.
Don't seem to be working.
Let me take a look at it. Never seen one of these things I couldn't fix, Eddie. Seen it's got a condenser, a super Heffordyne, a couple of killer cycles, the FM modulator with a dynamic speaker. Eddie, got a paper clip?
No.
Got a hairpin?
No.
Got a rubber band?
No. But I can give you a screwdriver and a pair of pliers.
Stop trying to confuse me, will you?
Archie, if you want my advice...
Miss Duffy, we don't.
Just the same, if I were you and I wanted to fix the radio, I'd first try to plug it in.
Plug it in? Look, Miss Podinsky, when two intelligent men is discussing a complicated mechanical problem, they don't need no advice from no dame. So please, butt out of this, will you? And where was we? Oh, yeah. Eddie?
Yeah.
Plug it in.
And so, with the death rattle of horrible Hannigan, we conclude the final episode of the Bucket of Blood Murder Mystery.
And now, kiddies, have you guessed the identity of the killer?
The butler.
If any of you guessed the butler...
Yes?
You couldn't have been more wrong. The murder was committed by the maid.
Sam Faith. that'll be $4,000,010. Each cash.
What a crummy mystery. You know, the guy that wrote it probably got a fortune, too. An idea.
You gonna write a... you gonna write a radio mystery?
You're psychiatric. And I ain't kidding. How did you figure it?
By a logical process of elimination.
What do you mean?
Just eliminated logic.
What does it take to write one of them mysteries?
Oh, talent.
So?
Creative ability?
Yeah.
Genius?
So?
Pencil?
That I can borrow. Hey, wait a minute. I got an idea already. Eddie, get this. For me detective, I got a terrific switch. I use a dame. A dame of the female species, see? Jane Wyman.
That is a switch. A flat foot with high heels.
Right. Now all I need is a nice ghoulish title. Let's see. The ghost walks. Not an experience. The corpse speaks. Hello, Finnegan, what you been doing?
Oh, I just went to see me doctor.
Your doctor, huh?
In a Pinkerton bacon.
No, I mean, is there anything wrong with you?
Oh, not a thing. Doctor says I'm as healthy as a horse, and he ought to know.
Finnegan, why did you happen to go to a horse doctor?
Well, it was just one of them things by mistake, and now I don't know how to get out of it gracefully.
Oh, well, why don't you just stop going to him?
I thought of that, but I just can't do it.
Why not?
Oh, to break his heart. He gets so much pleasure feeding me lumps of sugar.
Well, why don't you just come out and tell the guy that you ain't a horse?
Who am I to tell him? After all, he's the one with the diploma.
And did you finish the murder mystery yet, Miss Oxford?
Yeah, I got a couple of acts finished, Eddie. But you know, this radio writing ain't as easy as it seems. There's a lot less to radio than meets the ear. Eddie, how do you spell act?
A-C-T-S.
Thanks. The murderer walks into the room with an axe in his hand. Yes, sir. I think Jane Wyman will love this thing, Eddie.
Good evening.
Huh? Oh, good evening, Miss Wyman. Anything we were just talking about you. Welcome to Duffy's Tavern.
Well, thank you, but I believe you have the advantage of me.
I'd like to take it. Permit me, my name is Archie.
Let me look at you. Yes, you're just the way my friend Humphrey Bogart describes you.
Eddie, cut the pleasantry. Look, Janie, make yourself at home. Come here.
Where?
Come over here and stand next to me on my side of the bar.
Archie, Humphrey Bogart told me about that, too.
How would he know? I didn't ask him behind the bar. Hey, I wonder if baby talks. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's better for a cute-looking chick like you sits out there where the people can see. It'll help business, you know. The customers take one look at you, they stick around and get plastered.
Why?
Home and look at their wives. Come on, sit down. Order something to eat.
Eat?
Yeah.
No, thanks. Humphrey Bogart told me about that, too.
What did he tell you?
Only that Duffy's Tavern is on the condemned list.
Oh, he did, huh? Well, did he tell you that it happens to be number one on the list? I admit we don't serve nothing fancy. It's just plain American food.
Yeah.
Eddie, Humphrey Bogart can get away with them cracks, but you, I can fire.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, Miss Wyman, if not some food, how about a beverage? Shot of bar rye, perhaps?
Well, I'm sorry. I never drink anything stronger than water.
One shot of bar rye coming up.
Look, Jane, leave us get down to business. I suppose you're constantly being annoyed by a lot of crackpots trying to sell your plays.
That's right. Where's yours?
Right here. It's a serial I wrote for radio.
Radio?
Yeah, the poor man's television. You know, there's a lot of dough in that radio racket.
Oh, no, Archie. I think I'll stick to pictures.
Mm-hmm. How many pictures do you make a year?
Only two.
See what I mean? You could use the dough. Besides, it's an easier graph, you know. In pictures, you always got to keep memorizing the lines all the time. But with radio serials, you only have to learn the lines once.
Why is that?
Because it's radio. You do the same story every week.
Where'd you pick up the dame?
A dame? Finnegan, this is not a dame. This is a very famous personage.
Oh, really? Well, ma'am, sir, I'm delighted to meet you. I've heard so much about you.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, what does she do for a living?
She's a movie star.
Oh, a movie star. Ma'am, I must certainly say I have enjoyed all of your pics.
Oh, thank you. Which one did you like best?
Ben-Hur.
I wasn't in Ben-Hur.
Oh, the covered wagon?
No.
The great train robbery?
No.
Archie, if this dame ain't Bessie Love, I'm dead.
Dan, you'll have to excuse him. You see, there was a little mix-up when he was born. Instead of being brought by the stork, he was carried to his parents by a nearsighted retriever dog. Now, look, what was we talking about?
Radio.
Oh, yes, radio, a phase of broadcasting that has become very important in our lives. That has brought into our homes the great symphonies, Miss Wyman, the speeches of our presidents, the Metropolitan Opera, the Green Hornet. Yes, it'll bring you millions of new fans. Now, just figuring the number of sets on a per capita basis, do you know how many radios there are per square listener?
No, how many?
It's staggering. In this country alone, without figuring Iceland and Madagascar, in this country alone, according to a survey taken by a well-known poll...
Archie, do you still believe in those polls?
Polls? It just happens to be a very reliable guy from Warsaw. According to him, out of 140 million people, 240 million listen to the radio.
Archie, I think you can double that. This listener has two ears.
Spoken like an agency man. All I say is I wrote a mystery with a wonderful part in it for you. Now, will you do it?
No.
At least rehearse it.
No.
Jane, leave me give you some more facts and figures on radio.
Oh, no, not again.
Do you realize that when the first crystal set came on the market...
No,
that,
please.
That out of 203,000 fruit growers, and this excludes the rural areas, like Cucamonga, that there are...
Archie.
What?
If I do this play, will you please forget the facts and figures?
It's a deal. Now, Janie, now that you've read me Murder Mystery, what do you think of it?
Archie, I don't think Herman Rogers would want me to play it.
Who's Herman Rogers?
Friend of Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, no. Well, if you kind of listen to every Tom, Herman, and Humphrey.
Hey, Archie, is there a part in this radio show for me?
A part for you? I've seen some of your acting.
And what's wrong with it?
Believe me, if you was cast as Lady Godiva, the horse would steal the scene.
Archie, do you realize you wrote this play on Papa's time?
I just found a part for you. Okay, everybody, leave us rehearse it once. Eddie, read the prologue.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen and lovers of good, clean murder. We next present a mystery entitled The Mysterious Death of the Candy King, or Licorice and Old Lace. This year's play was plagiarized directly from the secret files of the FOB. Our first scene takes place in the gumdrop factory of Marmaduke Van Dextrose. His son, Marmaduke II, is talking to the secretary of Marmaduke I. Get it off.
Miss Pruitt, where's Dad?
What?
I, Marmaduke II, have a date with my girlfriend, Pee-Pee, tonight, and I need a million.
Gumdrop?
Better make it dollars. I don't seem to be getting nowhere with them gumdrops. May I see Dad now? Miss Pruitt, may I see Dad now? Miss Pruitt, why do you stand in front of that vat of boiling gumdrops?
But, Marmaduke,
step aside. What are you trying to conceal from me?
Please, don't look.
Eat, good cat. A bald-headed gumdrop floating in the vat. Why, Miss Pruitt, it's Father. Dad, get out of that hot vat, quick.
I'm afraid it's too late, Marmaduke II.
You mean?
The gumdrop king is dead.
Poor Dad. He was just like a father to me. Whom could have did this foul deed?
Shall I call the police?
No. To solve this problem, there's only one man.
Who?
A woman. Ellery Jane herself.
I am Ellery Jane herself. I am sitting at my desk, resting on my laurels and dabbing mascara on my private eye. Great stuff.
Thought you'd like it.
My business is murder. At the moment, business is dead. Because people ain't. But heart... There is a knock at my office door. Come in.
Are you Ellery Jane?
Yes. Come in, Marmaduke.
How did you know I was Marmaduke?
Oh, I don't know. Something in the way you open the door, the way you stand there, the way your tie lights up with your name on it.
Very shrewd guess. Very observant.
Now, let's get down to business. What can I do for you?
We'll talk about that later. But for the moment, I came to see you about my father, the late Marmaduke Van Dextrose.
Not the gumdrop king.
Yes.
Whatever happened to him?
Well, as it must to all men, father fell in a boiling gumdrop vat.
An accident, perhaps.
Ellery Jane, one does not do that sort of thing as a prank. That's why I have came to you. I heard how you solved that famous case of the man who was found dead in the Chinese restaurant.
Ah, yes. The police thought he was murdered, but I alone knew that it was not murder in the Chinese restaurant. It was a simple case of... Archie, I can't say this.
Go on, Janie, go ahead.
It was not murder in the Chinese restaurant. It was a simple case of chop suicide.
How deucedly clever of you. Ellery Jane, will you handle the gumdrop case?
Yes. Oh, but quick. There's not a moment to lose. We must go to the factory and search for clues.
As the nose said to the handkerchief, let's blow. Got to have a little humor in these things, you know.
Miss Pruitt?
Yes?
When did you first realize that your boss, Marmaduke Van Dextrose, was dead?
When he stopped chasing me around the desk.
Miss Pruitt, please. Let the dead be buried. Dad would have wanted it that way.
Oh, come now, Miss Pruitt. Enough of this stalling talk.
I didn't do it, I tell you. I meant nothing to Mr. Van Dextrose. We was just good friends.
Then how do you explain the mink coat he gave you? And the Cadillac? And the mansion in Wee Hawken?
Mr. Van Dextrose placed a high premium on friendship.
Jane, the old man was nearsighted.
Well, I'll make a note of it. But what I don't understand is why your father was standing so near this gumdrop vat.
I can explain that. Dad always bent over the vats. He was a stickler for flavor. He insisted on sampling every gumdrop before it left the factory.
I see. Were there any other suspects?
Our foreman, Pierpont, the well-known production genius.
Where can we find him?
I am the production genius.
Jane, I think we can eliminate Pierpont. He was one of Dad's closest friends, you know. In fact, he'll be broken up when he hears the news. Pierpont.
Yeah?
Brace yourself, man. Marmaduke Pantextros lies at the bottom of this boiling vat of gumdrops.
Well, get him out of there. He's holding up a duction.
Just a minute, Pierpont. I happen to know that you hated my father.
Yes. Yes, I did. I hate him. But I had a reason to hate him. His whole life was gumdrops. He lived gumdrops. He ate gumdrops. He slept gumdrops. I hated him and his gumdrops.
Why?
I'm a jelly bean man.
Ellery Jane, it looks like we're up against a dead end.
Wait. There is one more suspect.
What?
There is one more suspect.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll step outside for a minute.
Oh, no, you don't.
Why not?
I happen to know that you, Marmaduke, are the sole heir to your father's fortune, that you hated him and that you threatened him and that only last week he took out a $1 million insurance policy in your name.
True. But who would have reason to kill him?
That's what baffles me.
Just a minute. I'll tell you who would have reason to kill him.
Who?
Anybody that ever tasted his gumdrops. You couldn't get them out of your teeth.
Marmaduke, second, I think I've got a clue. Pierpont,
yeah?
Did you notice anything strange around this boiling vat today?
Now that you mention it, yes. There was a strange clicking noise.
A clicking noise?
Yeah.
Marmaduke, I think I have the solution. Did your father have false teeth?
Yes, but what's the connection?
Well, don't you see? It's simple. When Marmaduke Pantextros bent over this vat to sample his gumdrops today, his teeth fell into the vat.
His false teeth fell into the vat?
Yes, but perfectionist that he was, rather than let a gumdrop leave the factory unsampled, Marmaduke decided to gum the gumdrops.
Of course. How could we all have been so blind? The handful of gumdrops that he scooped up to sample contained his own false teeth.
Yes.
And he bit himself to death.
Right!
Ellery Jane, you've done it again. Well, Miss Wyman, what do you think of it?
Well, if Jack Warner listened, he has one thing to be thankful for.
What's that?
Anything I do after this will be a comeback.
Duffy's Tavern was originally released by NBC, the National Broadcasting Company, for listeners in the United States, and was rebroadcast for American forces overseas.